Ah, okay, okay. Okay. Very good afternoon, yeah, to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So, now we learn something. Huh? With technology, a lot of wonderful things can happen. We can take the group photo with a remote camera. So the handphone can trigger it off and no sound. So we have to thank Jingyao, for the new camera. So hopefully, like I said, don't blame technology. Technology is here to stay. The use of technology is very important. If you use it for wholesomeness, then technology is beautiful. So like I told Jingyao, since he got such nice camera, so our Guiyang trip, he will take care of the nice photo. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Brother Tim will help him. Brother Tim also know how to take, but his one is an old camera. Yours one is a good one. But Brother Tim's camera not bad. He can take a lot, 1,000 plus photo. So we have very good people who can help us to build up the website. So this is what technology can offer to society, to humanity, if we know how to make use of it. But you don't have the Dhamma, you don't have the moral value, then the use of technology can give rise to problem. That's what the world is facing. With technology, they use it for a lot of evil things. We use it as a remote control to trigger our auto photograph. They use it to set off bomb. So, both are technology, but one is for good purpose. The other one is for something which they have this type of wrong belief. That's why it leads to chaos, it leads to a lot of unnecessary war, conflict, misunderstanding. So this is part of what Dhamma is. When we understand, the understanding will make the user wise. Then the user of thought, user of technology, user of money, user of whatever thing that science generate or society generate or come to produce, even our handphone and all those things. Then later on, maybe we don't need handphone. Now they say they can actually convert all those things into your own, like a spec, when you wear a spec. Actually, all the functions are there. Then later on, I think human beings will have this power. Anything you want to know, you zoom into that person, then you can know that person's detail. All this will come out. Then you got facial recognition, all those things. They can catch all the criminal, people who do all those illegal things. And if you know how to use technology, technology can handle a lot of things. So the user is always most important. Like our form and mind connected to wisdom, then our form and mind become beautiful. Then we are a blessing to mankind, humanity. But if the Dhamma is not there, not connected, most human beings will be heedless. That's the reason why our planetary consciousness, human consciousness, find it very difficult to improve. Because very few human beings can really develop the ability to awaken, to have the Dhamma connected to their former mind. That's why now the number is too small, too small. From what I understand, you can hit 1 or 2% Wow, the whole consciousness will move, become very different. The first critical mass, near to 1%, is very important. When we have 1% of the population having this understanding, the whole world or planet Earth will be a utopia. Very beautiful idea. Because when this 1% has it, the rest will be swept into very fast. It's just like when technology come out. When you have a new series of handphone, a new generation handphone, people line up to buy it. You have experience that, like launching new property. Last time BU, very popular. They came overnight, asked the maid to go, then take turn, just to get a booking. So when this thing become popular, then it will actually trigger off. So that day I share with you that Indian guy who became monk, a business school student, J something. You know how he became famous or not? Technology. Because people start to interview him. Then people start to record what he say. Then he received so much popularity or hit. I was told he got, 300 million followers on his whatever, all those sharing. I don't know whether on Twitter or Facebook or what, I don't know. Then also all the interviewer, the viewer keep on increasing. That's why he became very famous overnight. So if there is technology available for good use, then a lot of things can happen. So this is one of the good things. Okay, so with this maybe we can go back to the sharing. Okay, turn to page Heart Sutta, short note, 128. My daughter will read it. Then I have a request. I hope you all don't mind. Because just now I think Ching Yap's wife, Lei Hong, she approached me when I was near there to get the Alicia. He said, Bratio, after lunch, sharing. He said, I want to hear other people share. She don't want to share, then disappear. But tomorrow morning, they are leaving. So I suppose we'll ask Ching Yap, Lei Hong, and this Richard, then later on maybe Eng Bi to share. Then after that, tomorrow they leave. Then we continue. So Lei Hong said, No, but I want to hear other people sharing. So hopefully you all can agree. So I will push the schedule forward. After lunch, I will start the official closing ceremony sharing ahead so that we can all share. Then tomorrow, I have all the time to finish off whatever I didn't finish. Then we can have time to answer questions and all those things. What do you all think? I need your consent, no? Okay or not? Okay. Acceptable. If we share tomorrow, no problem. We are here, leave at 3 o'clock. Okay. So the rest, okay? Okay. Anybody don't agree? Good. Thank you. Sadhu. So we try to practice consensus. Okay.
Page 128, 38 Heart Sutra class, part 1, 1.1. It is important to understand what is form Dharma and what is mind Dharma. For example, I am a religious person. My religion says I cannot take certain types of meat. Not permitted. I cannot touch or use the bowl that contains this type of meat used by people from other religions. Then by the same logic, they shouldn't breathe the air that the people of other religions have breathed or the money that they have used. This type of action puts emphasis only on the form Dharma. That is, they only deal with the form and are not able to see the mind as yet. Form has so much meaning to them. Hence, they can be deluded by it, and it is because of their attachment to form Dharma that conditions them to cling to the external forms and identify with them as right or wrong. spiritual or non-spiritual. Outwardly, they try to become more spiritual, but inwardly, at the mind level, they are still barren because they cannot see their rather latent defilements, evil mental intentions and thoughts. Another example is taking vegetarian. When you don't understand, why are you vegetarian? Then the same problem will arise. Some people are vegetarian because they thought by doing so, they will be more spiritual and compassionate because they don't cause to kill anymore. There may be some truth in that statement, but if you don't have the clear understanding of why you go vegetarian, then delusion can still creep in because you fail to understand that spirituality has nothing to do with what you eat. For spirituality is about cultivating the mind and purifying it to develop wisdom to liberate our mind. Otherwise, all the herbivores, animals like cows, the goats and the horses would have been enlightened because they are vegetarians all the time, for they only eat grass, and the funny part is what they eat finally becomes meat too.
So this part, I think, is very clear. When I share that, was because a lot of people were not able to understand all this. So I realize a lot of religious people, in inverted comma, they tend to grasp at external Dhamma or form Dhamma. So outwardly they try to be spiritual. That's how religion get distorted. Then they become like too keen or too earnest to show that type of religious commitment. But when you do it without understanding, that is where the danger is. Because to be a religious person, to be truly spiritual, is about cultivating your mind. It's about developing virtue, goodness, kindness, understanding, to be a blessing to all. It's not what you do outwardly to impress people. That one is not the real spiritual people or spiritual person. So when you understand that at the mind level, if your defilement is still very strong, if your delusion is still very strong, then what you do outwardly has got no meaning. Just to me, whether you are spiritual or not, is entirely your understanding of life, your mind. If you cannot deal with your mind, you are far from being spiritual. So this understanding is very important. That's why I share this and I gave all this example, is because of that. Because certain religion, they went to the extent of, just like what I described, they say certain type of meat they cannot eat. Then after that, they go even more extreme. He said the bowl that has been used by other people or other religion, they also cannot use. And when I was in the university in charge of maintaining everything, I faced this question. Every time the professor or the academic staff that they call visiting professor or associate professor, or even they call essential staff who are given quarters. People who are of other religion, not their religion, I got no problem. All the cutlery they will accept and use because they are still good. But there was one or two of these professors from other place, Middle East, I think. Oh, they came to the office and banged table. Do you know I am of this religion? I cannot accept all this type of cutlery. I want new one. What will you do if you are in my position? What will you do? Let things be. Cannot. I where got budget? Ayo. Wait. You say let them have the new one.
I mean,
But I don't have budget.
I mean by the paper type.
you cannot left and right. Because they go by status, they're supposed to have proper calories. Huh? Somebody answered? Huh? Did somebody answer just now? No, huh? So what I told him is very simple. I said, Prof, no problem. You want new one? You go and see the VC. If he approve, money come, I buy for you immediately. You understand, huh? Why you go and crack your head? Like accident. Yeah? If the fellow very violent. Yeah? You don't know how to drive car. Your eye so big, never see. Yeah? Why you bang me? Actually, he's at fault. But because he is a bully. Yeah? So, how? How to stop this? The best thing is apologize. Understand? Sorry. I am really sorry. I also don't know what happened. Somehow accident happened. Huh? Then, don't worry. My insurance is there. You can claim my insurance. He was tone down, isn't it? Correct or not? That is the best way. Why want to argue with him? Huh? Hey, you at fault or no? I tell you, he get more violent. And there was a case, not a real case. This guy, he actually is quite elderly. So this youngster on motorbike, I think they want to bully him. They purposely do not do what to him, then stop his car. Then ask him to pay. Then he refused to pay. They did a lot of things to his car. And he still refused to pay. And you know what happened? They want to take his handphone and his money and all those things. It's somewhere near SS2 that time it happened. But they don't know this old man got contact with gangster. He's before he retired, he must be a Tai Low before and all that. I tell you what, the moment they leave, he make one phone call. This few youngster on motorbike, kena like man, he seems. That's why you don't simply think that you are on the power side, then you can do things. But you never know who you meet. There's some karma is like that. Never do this type of thing. He can resolve it. Understand? So if they are very violent, you have to think of some way to allow all this to tone down. So normally what I did is, there was one incident, I think in the mall, I think mall or supermarket, I forgot already. I was in one of these towns. Then I was moving around. Then there were a lot of these youngsters. It was also a sport shop, or the sportwear shop and t-shirt also. So this gentleman, I think about 20 years old or 21 years old, he was with a group of friends. He's a Malay guy. So he suddenly went very fast, then he banged me. After he banged me, I turned around and said, sorry. He was so surprised. He looked at me, he smiled. He said, Uncle, you okay? I said, I'm okay, I'm sorry. Then he talked to a friend, in Malay, of course. He said, this person, very funny, I banged him. He apologized to me. That's why he felt good, understand? Because if I have reacted, how? If somebody really banged into you, then it would have been a different scenario. That's why even when I go to function or bank or what, if people accidentally spill things on you, you get angry, the whole place will become a scene, understand? Why must you do that? Sometimes they pour on me. I say, it's okay, don't worry. Because just wait, understand? Some people cannot get very angry. You know how much this costs or not? Do you know this is my favorite dress and all that? Then, problem already. The reality is, happened already, understand? Why you want to blame? Resolve it, understand? I remember there was one incident at a wedding. I think it was it my daughter's wedding? I forgot already. I think not my daughter's wedding, some classmates' wedding. The waiter knew they employ part time. He carried the wine. Then while he was serving, one of the wine glass, whole thing went down onto somebody sitting on our table. Well, I tell you, that guy immediately demand, I want to see your captain. You know, and he tell the captain, what are you going to do? You want compensation? No. Then they say, okay, we will take you up, lend you a suit, then send this for dry cleaning, then return. No, we say not enough. I want you to give me a room. My mood is gone, is it today? Oh, all these things. But the hotel manager is smart. Don't want to create more issue where it will affect their hotel reputation. And you meet people like that. So I think finally they agree. But what happened, I don't know. So sometimes you meet people like that. You have to have the understanding to resolve it amicably. So sometimes it's because of like what my very good friend used to say, Sam. He said, if money can solve, it's not a problem. You agree or not? You agree because you have money. Those who don't have money cannot. But that is really true. If money can solve, why you want to make it into an issue? So when I was working as a consultant, there was a very severe incident. Because that building we built, we were the consultant. Then there was a quite low company, who want to rent the whole floor in that building. And you know that quite low is also a structural engineer, structural consultant. So he demand from the owner of the building who rent to them, the structural drawing for the project. And we also didn't know. So my company actually issued the drawing to him because he's the owner. So the owner passed the drawing to him. And what that structural consultant Koilo did, I think he go all over to make money. He straight away checked. The next day he come to the office. He want to file a suit against the owner and ask for compensation and all those things. He said, this structural drawing got problem. This building supposed to collapse. I don't know why it's still there. Oh. Then he marked all across a lot of places on the drawing. This one all wrong. Still bad detailing, everything wrong. So what happened? They call us up. And my classmate, who is the partner, the boss, the owner of the consultant, he panicked like mad, don't know what to do. Then he called me in to help. Then our structural division was my another senior colleague of mine. I know him, he's also my good friend. Then I'm supposed to be silver, head of silver, all the silver thing I handle. But I also very good at structure, so I also help in. So what happened was, he asked me to help. So I look at the drawing, then I check with the structural consultant, our head, and say, personally, do you think your design got problem? So his argument was on one thing only, transfer beam. Because there's a transfer beam that transfers 6 story of load onto that transfer beam. The structural consultant said, the other part I don't care, is it? Because that one is minor, is it? The car park ramp supposed to collapse but didn't collapse, I also don't know why. The staircase supposed to collapse but didn't collapse, I also don't know why, is it? But he said, your structural beam, the transfer beam, this one, the moment it fails, nobody knows, the whole building will go down and hit my floor. He said, I want you to compensate me, and all those things. Oh. Then the owner, of course, had to come and see us. Then my structural consultant checked. He said, what he said is true, the anchorage, all those things. But under construction, all these are taken care of. because we know how to do the supervision. Then technically, it's no problem. Understand now? So after I checked myself, then I realized, yeah, definitely no problem, I told you. Because he assumed that that transfer beam is pinned, the two end are pinned. But it's not pinned, we are up there, got column. Now there got column, some rigidity is there. Then together with the detailing, the anchorage, is sure enough. But because it's a transfer beam with six story, that guy based on the Guailo, based on the drawing, say it's not enough. It is going to burst one day. So we went for the meeting. You know. Then they called this very senior guy, you know, I think the ex-AG, you know, to chair. Because the ex-AG was the chairman of that listed company, that Tan Sri. So I went and represent my company, you know, together, of course, with my classmate, the partner, and the structural consultant. So 3 hours went. Then luckily, they get an independent, a PhD lecturer. I think later on he must have got his doctor. He has his doctorate. So this lecturer happened to be my lecturer, you know, when I was in the university. Oh, the PhD holder. So he was hired by the client. To sit in, you know, as an observer or independent advisor to the client. So luckily when we went for the meeting, he saw me, you know, then I saw him, then I greeted him. You know, at first he couldn't recognize me, you know, then I called him by the way we address him, doctor or something. Then he said, why are you here? Oh, I said, we are the consultant. Oh, then he knew, you know. Then when the meeting started, you know what happened? The structural consultant, the Kuai Loa, he really fire you like anything. Yeah. So that chairman was very fair. He said, okay, our company is Kemas Pakat. Kemas Pakat, what have you got to say? Luckily, I was very familiar with all those things. So I quoted the uniform building bylaw. The uniform bylaw got this, what they call all the bylaw that you need to build a building on. Then, as a structural consultant or a civil and structural engineer, I have this training. My design is serviceability limit state. You know what is serviceability limit state? Maybe too difficult for you to understand. I make it simple. Means my design, I must fulfill serviceability limit. Means when the loading come in, when people use, when the building is in service, my structure must not have hairline crack above certain width that can make people panic. You understand? Huh? Yeah. Then I say, according to uniform building bylaw, I didn't violate anything. I comply. The transfer beam that you say any time will burst, got any crack or not? Don't have any crack. Is your word against my word? No. And we insist, as a consultant, nothing wrong with our design. You want to rent, you rent. You don't want to rent, you can't see, go. So, the client was very smart. One of the directors, he was very smart. He said, okay. After hearing from both sides, I want to ask my independent PhD holder. So see, he is my lecturer. So he also actually helped me a lot. He said, yeah, uniform building bylaw did state that. And our engineering design did state that serviceability limit. So he confirmed we are not at fault. Understand? Our consultant is not at fault. Then he said, okay, I will resolve it this way. Oh, he actually like a Buddhist, though. He resolved it amicably. He said, okay. He tell the Kuai Lo, you tell me how you will feel safe. What is it that you need to do? So he said, we do it on commercial decision. The client undertake the cost. You say unsafe, you tell me, I hire you now as a structural consultant. What are the things you are going to do to it to make it safe? The consultant originally stand by the point that their building is safe. Oh, that commercial decision was very good. That's why it resolved it amicably. So Lok Kwai Loh got no choice. Of course, he earned the fees, lah. Understand, lah? to give solution to that thing. So he achieved a little bit of his purpose. So finally, he come out with a very expensive design. Put all the steel plate and all those things. So because of that, we will say, we got no objection. Actually, I wanted to put in something. But I know if I do that, it is going to be an issue again. Because when you do rectification remedy, you are going to drill into my structure. You understand? You are going to anchor all the bolt in with the steel plate, everything. According to you, is to strengthen that transfer beam. But what happens if you drill wrongly and hit my steel bar inside there? You understand? But I think they will have answer to it. They say they will x-ray where your steel bar is. So because of that, we agree. Then finally, commercial decision resolved. This is how we should resolve issue. Don't go and argue. Otherwise, you end up court case and a lot of things. So like what my friend say, if money can resolve, use money to resolve. That the client willing to pay. I think total they pay about $300,000-$400,000 resolve. That is how you must understand society is different. You have to use your understanding to resolve it. Means commercial decision. I find that very good. I learned something from that incident. So if you know how to resolve issue, you always tell people, based on commercial decision, we will make a decision. Means the client willing to take the cost. Because that reputation is very important. You know what that structural consultant, the Kwai Loh's intent is. He want this to be like a very, I don't know, you call that fake news or what news. Once this news come out that your building is not safe because that consultant says so, you think anybody will rent your building? Nobody will go and rent your building. And because that reputation is too costly to be damaged, that's why the client was very smart. Immediately they wrap it up. And they warn that Kwai Loh, if any of this news leak out, I'm going to make you respond. I'm going to sue you. So all this type of thing, not easy to handle. And my classmate that time was so stressed out. You know what he tell me? They want to do a load test on the staircase. They want to load it up. Because the Kwai Loh say, according to his calculation, it's supposed to collapse. The car ram also, he want to load it up. Because these are not critical part. You know what my classmate, who is one of the partner owner, tell me? He said, Tio, can you go and meditate there? I said, you must be crazy. He said, do something. Make sure the load test okay. I tell you, that was the biggest joke. But anyway, I after the meeting, we went for lunch. Then the client immediately came down and joined us for lunch. The client actually booked the lunch. The client know my classmate very well. That's why we got the job. You know, at the lunch, what did he say? He said, when the Tan Sri, the chairman, asked Kemas Pakat, what have you got to say? Everybody keep quiet. Dare not even say anything. My classmate keep quiet. The senior structural consultant keep quiet. Luckily, I put up my hand. Then I say all those things. So that director that came out with a commercial decision, he told my classmate, you are lucky you got your this deal around. If he not around, you get into big trouble already. Because we cannot protect our integrity as a consultant, Then he will insist on load tests and all those things. So because of what I say, he dare not do it already. So because of that, he quickly jumped in and fixed it with the commercial decision. So this is what you can do. Then when I went for consultant meeting, a very high level one, this 5-star hotel with all the big shot politicians only. So in the meeting, I sat there and meditated one hour, because the meeting, a lot of consultant, a lot of contractor, subcontractor, client, everybody, the whole meeting room, I think, easily 30 people inside there having a meeting. And the minutes of the meeting, very thick. Then there's a lot of things. Then the other consultant that sat next to me, they like to talk to me, then we are quite close. But they don't know that I am a cultivator, a meditator. Then every time I keep quiet, I silence my mind. Then I like to cross my leg. Now, that time I still young. My leg I can cross on the normal chair that they sit. No? Then they thought I sleep. No? Because they hear one sound. Then one of them laughed. No? He said, "Dude, you're going to kena already." He said, "So the next agenda is his." No? Then the chairman, which is an architect, he read through the minute. Then he called me out. No? "Come on, Sparkat. What is your report?" Immediately I answer. No? Then after that, he laughed. No? He didn't sleep. No? So a lot of these things, they come to know. So a lot of things you cannot assume, understand or not? Because you never know who that person is and how he developed his mind. So there are things that you can learn from life. That's why life is our greatest teacher. Okay, I think I heard the alarm. Okay, we can stop. We can have our lunch first. Then we come back 1:30. Then we can have our sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. You have to take out the cushion. I think they want to clean the hall. Okay, thanks.